not challenge each other.
We want a fight for it. Ready, draw. Let's go.
He played the main, baby. Let's get him.
Long first game is out. 60 minutes.
Go, man.
60 plus minutes.
Welcome to a Football Friday edition of Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson here in the Xfinity studio. Please be back with my man.
It's been a while.
Bo Wolf. It's been like 3 weeks, man.
I know.
Seriously.
I'm ready to get back after it. I missed you.
Definitely. So, great show for you on this Friday. We're going to go inside the film room and look at how the Dolphins are using one Reggie Bush to see how the Eagles defense will have the game plan for that. Bo had an outstanding interview with wide receiver Jerry Macklin. He talks about his comeback to the field. We're going to have that for you later on in the show. But we have some great guests. We're going to go down to Fort Lauderdale, where Joe O'Donnell, who runs the Parrot Lounge down there, it's a big Philly bar. A lot of Eagles fans are going to be taking over this weekend. We're going to go down to the scene and find out how many Eagles fans are already down there, because I talked to him briefly last night, and he said that by this afternoon, it's going to be packed with Eagles fans. We have Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com, and we also have Armando Salguero, who is the columnist for the Miami Herald, and he'll give us the insight of what's going on with the Dolphins' big turnaround. And you have 2-4-8 teams going to this game, Bo, but they're going in completely different directions.
Exactly.
The Eagles have struggled in the last couple of weeks, two very disappointing losses, one to the Patriots, obviously last Thursday to Seattle, so they've had 10 days to, you know, get things right, get things back on track. But the Dolphins have won 4 of their last 5 after starting 0-7 on the season. Their defense is playing outstanding, and Matt Moore is not a flashy quarterback, but he's very efficient, and the key here is he's not turning the ball over.
Well, and turnovers, of course, has been what's plagued the Eagles
exactly.
All season long. And you know, outside of the Packers, the Dolphins are pretty much the hottest team in football right now, as you said, for the last 5. And it was interesting listening to Marty Morningwick's press conference yesterday when he was talking about, you know, this offense ranks near the top of the league, if not at the top of the league, in so many categories. Third in total offense, third, I think, in first down conversions, towards the top in third down conversions, big plays. I think they're in the top 5, but in turnovers, almost at the very bottom, tied for dead last in turnover differential. So many turnovers, they lead the league by far in red zone turnovers, 8 turnovers. No other team has more than 4. And so, listen, Michael Vick, who last year, one of the reasons he was so good was that he wasn't turning the ball over. He was protecting the football better than he had in his whole career. If he can relieve this Eagles offense and do that against the Dolphins this week, then I think they move the ball and they have a very good chance to put a lot of points up.
It's really 4 interceptions in a game as Vince Young threw last week against Seattle. That's not going to get the job done. No matter how good your defense is playing, no matter how good the rest of the team is playing, you're basically shooting yourself in the foot if you're able to do that. One of the hallmarks of the Andy Reid teams throughout his entire career here as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles has been they've been very good at protecting the ball. Donovan McNabb was known for not throwing a lot of interceptions, had one of the lowest interception ratios in NFL history. That was, like you said, one of the best things about Vic last year. Well, look at the running game right now for the Eagles. LeSean McCoy, who is having a brilliant season. I don't have the proper words to, you know, define just how good he's been this season, but he has not fumbled the ball once. And I feel bad bringing it up because I don't want to jinx him, but there's no question that he's been the MVP of this team. He's on pace to set basically every rushing record in franchise history, rushing yards, total touchdowns. But the best thing about him is he's been taking care of the football with no fumbles all season long.
And it's funny because his rookie year, lots of people would call in and complain about the way he carries the ball and saying he was going to fumble all the time. And in his career, this is not anything new. He hasn't fumbled very much at all. And he's been great with that, as you said, this season. Only trails Maurice Jones-Drew by a few yards for the rushing lead. So obviously that's something that we'll be following over the next 4 games to hope that Shady can get the rushing crown. And as you said, Max Rappaport, our guy, did a good job looking at this. This is probably the best rushing season in Eagles history.
He's
at least on pace for.
It's amazing, but it's just disappointing that it's coming with a team 4-8, but still alive. That's the one thing that the players are preaching this week.
Unbelievable.
A lot has to happen.
Unbelievable. 4-8, but still, there's a chance.
You know, and then, of course, you got the Cowboys-Giants playing on Sunday night. That's going to factor heavily into what happens for the Eagles, but they first have to get the job done down in Miami, and at least on offense, I mean, it has been a while since you've had your starting quarterback in Michael Vick, and both of your starting wide receivers in Jerry Maclin and DeSean Jackson, because you had Vic and Maclin for the Arizona game, but you didn't have Jackson for that game because that's a game he was deactivated for missing a team meeting. So you have not had your, you know, three of your biggest playmakers on offense together for a month.
Since the Bears game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy. And then on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the run defense last week did not get the job done. Marshawn Lynch ran all over him. A much different running back that they faced this week in Reggie Bush, much more reliant upon his ability, his agility, his speed, getting to the outside, whereas Marshawn is just going to run right over you. So we'll see what the defense has in store for him, if that's a better matchup for this defense. And then a little bit of a personnel change at linebacker yesterday, as we found out that Casey Matthews is going to be one of the two nickel linebackers alongside Keenan Clayton. Matthews, of course, you know, started the season as the middle linebacker, then they moved him to the weak side. He's been pretty much just playing in goal line the past, you know, eight games or so. So we'll see what Casey Matthews can do with this second chance.
You know, the thing is for him is he was thrown right into the fire from day one of training camp. Without a practice, so much a meeting, he was deemed the starting middle linebacker. And the Eagles tried to bring him along. He went through the entire preseason, had his struggles, figured that he would grow and develop, and they realized they had to make a change. They put him on the weak side. He had that Giants game where he got fooled on that wheel route by Brandon Jacobs, who went 40 yards for a touchdown and has been since demoted to, as you said, short yardage goal line situations. Well, he's had a chance to watch from the sidelines, been playing on special teams. Let's see what he's been able to learn at that time. Obviously, he's been continuing to work hard. He hasn't, you know, thrown in a towel. He's been showing the coaches that he's had the right mindset, the right attitude. I know fans have gotten on him. It's so funny that fans, when he was drafted, loved the pick, wanted him here. You're hoping that he'd be like his brother, even though two totally different players. Had his struggles early in the season. Fans completely dogging him. Now we'll see what he can do. He has another opportunity. And I talked to Keenan Clayton, who will be in the nickel package with him. Keenan told me that he expects Casey Matthews to wear the communications helmet, mainly because Casey wore it through training camp in the preseason and early in the year, so he's used to it already. But the fact is, these are two young guys who are hungry, and they have to prove themselves. Look, no matter what happens the rest of this season, whether they can make a run to the playoffs or not, you know, they're starting to look ahead to, they like being on this team, they like being Philadelphia Eagles, they have to earn their spot for next year. And that's some of the things that we're going to start seeing from the guys in the locker room. Who's going to fight to try to maintain their spots on the team? Because, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes made in that locker room. Guys are going to have to battle for their spots here.
Right, and the tape doesn't lie. So they're
exactly
what these guys do and how they play. If they don't play hard, it's going to show up on the tape, and that's going to hurt them around the league, not just with this team. So they know that they really do have to step up. And I am looking forward to seeing how Casey does against the Dolphins, because the book on him during the draft was that he would be much better in pass coverage than coming forward as a run defender, because he gets a little bit caught up in the wash. But he is athletic enough to make plays in pass coverage. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. The flip side of it is, how does it make you feel about Jamar Chaney not being in the nickel?
I think he has struggled in coverage this year.
He has.
And that has been the issue at the end of last season. Was very good against the run. Remember, he had 16 tackles in that Miracle to New Meadowlands. It was very, very stout against the run. And I think the performance against the run and just him kind of taking over the middle and showing some promise kind of was a deodorant for his struggles in the pass game. Well, those struggles in the pass game have continued, and it doesn't matter how athletic he is, how he was the fastest linebacker at the combine last year, that if you can't react to what you're seeing from offenses, if you're not able to, you know, make the right drops in coverage, it's not going to help you out. You got to be in the right place at the right time, and he's not been able to consistently show that this year. So I will give Chaney credit for this. He's had to learn three different positions now in 2 years. Adam Kaplan and I talked a lot about this on the postgame show last Thursday after the Seattle game, where people say, oh, he was a middle linebacker last year, he's now a middle linebacker here, but it's two different schemes, and he's reading two different things. So he's had to process and learn a lot in just a very short amount of time. Obviously, some stability would help him out. You know, they did not want him to be the middle linebacker. They wanted him to be the outside linebacker. They thought that he would be a downhill player, could take on the offensive tackle, would work well as the Sam. Well, they had to move him back to the middle. He's had some good plays, but pretty much they come in the run game. But there's even been times in the run defense where he's had a struggle. So, yeah, right now he's the Mike linebacker in the base, but really what you see is most teams are playing their sub packages so frequently now that the nickel is almost becoming more and more the prevalent defense on the field than your base 4-3.
And then speaking of the nickel in the secondary, it looks like there's a good chance that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie plays this week after missing some games with the high ankle sprain. Nnamdi Asamoah is also going to play. It looks like he's been a full participant, even though he suffered that concussion against the Seahawks. So the secondary is back, and Juan Castillo did say that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, if he plays, he will be the nickel guy and not Josilio Hansen. And as Andy Reid said earlier this week, the game that Dominic got hurt against the Cardinals, those were his best snaps of the season. So I think there's a hope that he comes on here and makes an impact.
I think he realizes that he's had a disappointing season, and I think he wants to make amends. He's a guy who has the right attitude. He's not a guy that I think, you know, gives up on plays or things of that nature. I think the issue with him is he struggled to transition to this nickel role, where Josilio Hansen, who's been a very good nickel corner for this team for years, has flat out said, look, it took me a year to learn it. It takes time. I mean, you're used to playing on the outside, having that sideline as a boundary, as your friend to work with. And you have quicker receivers, usually. They're lining up in a slot that you have to adjust to. Rogers-Cromartie is a taller cornerback, but he's still very fast and very athletic. You know, he's probably was finally getting used to it in that Arizona game, but then he suffered the high ankle sprain on a kickoff return.
Yep.
No less, and he actually said that right now his kickoff return career is over, even though I did like the flash that he showed on that return.
He looked very explosive.
So it would be great to have that kind of element in the kickoff return game. The Eagles are not going to have that if Rogers-Cromartie plays, but you know, I think that it's the proving ground towards next season. The only thing is, if the Eagles, looking down the road, if they make changes on defense, what if somehow Rogers-Cromartie is one of your outside corners? Is this year kind of off or not of him going through the struggles and not being utilized the right way to then only now have to retransition to an outside cornerback again next year?
Well, I mean, he's been playing outside corner his whole life, so
yeah,
I
don't think that's too much to worry about. But you know, when you hear Juan Castillo talk at his press conference, it's all about, you know, you hear down the line, be a great nickel corner.
Right.
It's like you're going to invest all this time, and he'll just be moved back to the outside.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And the good thing is that this offseason we actually will have a full schedule of OTAs and stuff for these guys to get acclimated in the defense and feel more comfortable and not have to worry about thinking as they're playing and just sort of go out there and read and react. But yeah, that's a good point. I do think that he'll be okay playing on the outside, though. You know, he went to the Pro Bowl as an outside.
Yes,
corner,
exactly. So. Exactly there. So we're taking your phone calls, 215-339-6709. If you want to jump on board here. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick commercial break. On the other side, we have that great film room segment from Greg Cosell and Adam Kaplan on how the Dolphins have turned Reggie Bush into a legitimate running back and how he's been able to rush for a career high in yards already in his first year as a Miami Dolphin. So all that and much more coming up here on Eagles Live.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. I just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Film Room, where we break down the Eagles' opponent each week from an offensive and defensive standpoint. And we always have Greg Cosell from NFL Films break down the Eagles' opponent. Greg, this week, the Eagles take on the Miami Dolphins, and I'll tell you what, they've got an interesting running game. Earlier on, it was Daniel Thomas, the rookie, the second rounder. Lately, it's been Reggie Bush, who I guess in a way is a feature back, but you've seen his tape. How are they using him?
Well, it's funny that the Dolphins started to play much better on offense, not only when Matt Moore took over, but when they realized that Reggie Bush had certain skills and they maximized those skills. He's not a feature back in a strict sense. Will they line him up and hand the ball off between the tackles? Sure, they'll do that once in a while. But ultimately, Bush is at his best in space on the perimeter. So you must design plays that get him there immediately, because otherwise he will look to get to space. He's not a guy who's going to hit it up in there. He looks for space. So if you design plays where he's already in space, you're ahead of the game. And here's a play they've been using, I wouldn't say every week, but quite a bit in the last, five, 6 weeks since they've started playing well. It's what I call the fly sweep. Now, notice, there's Matt Moore. That's not Reggie Bush next to him in the backfield.
Right.
That's Daniel Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Here's Reggie Bush. Kind of a slot position, a little off the line of scrimmage. Now, look what they do with Reggie Bush on this play. He goes in motion, and he's going to take the handoff. It's almost like a reverse, not really a reverse, but it's a sweep, really, and that's why I call it a fly sweep. He's getting the ball already in fast motion. He doesn't have to be patient, pick a spot, use any vision or eyes.
Right.
He's already in fast motion. And now Daniel Thomas, he's a lead blocker here, and that's critical with Reggie Bush. So he flies around the corner, and he scores a 28-yard touchdown. That's a great play for Bush, and it's really, really effective. It plays to his speed. It plays to the fact that he doesn't necessarily have tremendous vision and instincts as an eye back. Here's another example.
Okay.
This came last week against the Raiders. Now, here he's in what an eye back position.
Right.
Okay, they've got heavy personnel. They've got three tight ends on the field. They've got him as an eye back. But look what they do. They toss the ball to him to the left. What is it? Right now, it looks like toss left. Does it not?
Correct. Correct.
It's not toss left. He immediately comes back to the right. So look again. This is all by design.
Change of direction.
This is all by design. Misdirection. Notice he's in space right now.
Right.
He can build up speed. He doesn't have to be patient and wait and read and see where to go. He can just run hard downhill. And here's a 29-yard gain. So this is another example of the kind of run that the Dolphins have been using with Reggie Bush, and you must be prepared for this. Your backside defenders have to play with great assignment discipline and contain.
Set the edge.
Yeah, on the backside, because here, look what happens. There's no, it's taken care of. This is a beautiful hole. Mm. He's running to daylight. It's the Vince Lombardi, a seal here and a seal there. And it's beautiful. But it's the nature of the runs, Adam.
Right.
And, of course, what's the other thing you always have to be prepared to deal with Reggie Bush? What's the other part of his game?
Speed.
Receiver.
As a receiver out of the backfield. There you go. Okay.
And there's a couple of formations you have to look for. Okay. Here's more in the shotgun. Reggie Bush is offset. When he's offset with more in the shotgun, he's a receiver. You have to be. They don't hand the ball off to him on inside runs. He's a receiver. And one of the favorite routes they run with him is the wheel route. Because, again, it gets him running vertically. And so right here, you see him. He's going to run the wheel route. It's not bad coverage, but he wins. It's a beautiful throw.
Get him on the DB, and that's what you want.
You get him on a safety,
right.
And that's obviously a mismatch that favors the Dolphins. So here's Reggie Bush. Three different ways, two runs, and as a receiver out of the backfield, he's very versatile in how he's used, and he has great downhill speed. And if you get him on the edge by design, he's a tough assignment.
All right, great stuff, Greg. In the next segment, we're going to take a look at Matt Moore, who's been a great story, who's been coming on, filling in for Chad Henne. For Greg Cosell, I'm Adam Kaplan.
Great stuff, as always, from Adam and Greg. I really missed that segment last week leading up to the Seahawks game.
Split minus.
Exactly. But Adam, again, will be the post-game show host. He'll be here for the kickoff show as well this Sunday, beginning at 12:30 p.m. Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan will take you all the way through the entire course of the Eagles-Dolphins game, which begins at 1 p.m., and you can watch it on Fox in your local market. Now, we have a great contest going on right now on philadelphia.com. It's called Pick the Top 5 Plays of the 2011 Season. And basically what it is if you pick your top 5 plays, you can win some great autographed merchandise, tickets and sideline passes to the regular season finale between the Eagles and Redskins, and a whole lot more. So find out more on philadelphiaeagles.com/top5 and pick your top 5 plays of the 2011 Season. And you could argue that all five could be Shady McCoy runs, quite honestly.
Seriously. Which one stands out to you?
Of
the
his
Rams
runs?
Game one?
The Giants game where he made the million jukes
on
his way into the end zone. I love the Rams one in the season opener just because it just put the nail on the head right there.
And we were over 500.
I'm trying to think what else. I enjoyed the second Giants game because I wish he had scored on that play, of course, because that broke his streak of consecutive games with a touchdown. But, you know, the Giants, you know, took care of him all game long. They were eliminating those cutback runs. But then finally, he just broke him down and got that big run to say, you know what? There it is right there.
Nicely done.
You just got to give him that little crease, and he's off to the races.
That's a great run.
Great effort there. And you were just like, go. And just finally got tripped out at the 2-yard line, but still, outstanding season for LeSean McCoy. He's definitely headed to the Pro Bowl, but make sure, go to philadelphia.com/Pro Bowl, vote for him. Let's also get Colt Anderson in there, too.
And Jason Peters.
Yes.
Absolutely deserving.
Yes. I know Peters was not on the top five for the fan vote.
What?
No.
That's ridiculous.
No. He was not in the top five for the NFC tackles in the fan vote in the most recent tabulation.
Let's change that, guys.
So definitely go on there. I understand a lot of fans are like, why are we talking individual honors? Look, I understand it's been a tough season for the team, but these guys have still put in the effort. They've worked hard. They deserve at least the tip of the cap to get to go to Hawaii at the end of the season. We're going to go to the phone lines now. We're going to Fort Lauderdale a little early here on the show. We're going to speak to Shannon. Shannon, what's going on, man?
Good brothers, how you doing, man?
Great to hear from
you. What's up, Shannon? We're coming down. Well, C-Mac's coming down here.
You got your shorts and your flip-flops ready, man. You guys coming down to the Parrot, I understand.
I do not know if I'm going to be able to make it to the Parrot because apparently it's 45 minutes from where we're staying in Miami.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes from Miami, man. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I've heard that every Eagles fan is going to be there. The place is going to be absolutely mobbed on
Saturday. Everyone's going to buy a drink. So it'll be a celebrity.
If you want to get a taste of like Philly and Florida, just go to the Parrot, you know, during an NFL game Sunday. I'm telling you, it's amazing there. It's amazing.
Is that where you usually go, Shannon?
I usually stay at home, but I have gone to the Parrot, you know, a couple of times, you know, just to get like, you know, the fan atmosphere, man. You know what I mean? Yeah.
How many people are there? We're going to speak to Joe O'Donnell, who's one of the owners of the Paralympics, just a little bit. How many people would you say are usually there for an Eagles game?
Oh, my gosh. Now, remember, Florida is inside and outside. So it could be, on any given Sunday, it could be easily 200, 300 people on the inside and maybe 100 on the outside.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, and everybody's bleeding green, man. And, you know, it's just like if you didn't know any better, you would think you were in Philly, you know.
hearing all this makes me want to go.
It's just the warm weather. That's the difference, man. It's crazy.
So, Shannon, what's your take, man? I know, are you going to the game on Sunday?
You know it, man. You know it. You know it.
We better see you down there. Spud Cam, we better capture you on Spud Cam
The game. Oh, yeah. Now, listen, first thing, because you know I'm Mr. Optimist, I'm Mr. Faith. You know that, right? So, first thing we got to do is we got to win. We got to win on Sunday. That just goes first.
No question.
And then we need the Giants to go 2-2 and the Cowgirls to go 1-3, which I don't think is hard because the Cowboys play both us and the Giants twice. So that's three games right there they can lose.
Yeah, it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but they've got to take care of business on Sunday. This Dolphins team. You know, I got to watch them on Thanksgiving against Dallas. They put up a fight. I remember the week before, 2 weeks before that, they played the Giants and led them into the fourth quarter. It seemed like early in the year, they were good. They were hanging around games, but they couldn't win them. Now they're winning games. They dominated the Raiders last week. They had a pick six on defense. I mean, it's a very, very good defense. They're stout against the run. Vontae Davis is an outstanding quarterback who's playing well. I like Kevin Burnett, who's one of their inside linebackers along with Carlos Dansby. He's a guy that flies around and makes plays. There's a lot of good players on that defense. Michael Vick, this is the type of game where Michael Vick needs to just take over. And if there's,
he needs to be in the zone. But I'm telling you, if there was any team that needed to catch their stride right now, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm telling you. And I got a feeling we're going to do it, man. I got a feeling. Now, I got a bold prediction for both you and Bo, Chris. You
ready? All right.
Now, listen, if we take care of our business, right, if we take care of our business, win this game, and we go 4-0, I believe that the Giants and the Cowboys will crumble like they always do. Now, listen to this prediction. I'm going to give you my prediction for the game, then I'm going to give you another prediction.
Okay.
All right.
My prediction for the game is 35-17, Birds, Eagles, of course. Okay? Now, if we have to win our four games, because if we don't win our four games, everything else is irrelevant. But if we win our four games, the Giants are going to crumble. Dallas is going to crumble. Listen to this. Eagles go into Green Bay, beat Green Bay. Listen, you heard it here first.
Wait. Shane, let me back you up for a second.
Championship.
Let me back you up. I was just going to say, before you get that far down the road, first, they would actually get a home game by winning the division.
Right. And we would probably play Chicago, payback number one.
I like that.
Go to Green Bay, payback number two. And then go to San Francisco, payback number three. And it would be lovely to meet the Patriots.
And then Patriots payback number four.
I know that's a lot, but
payback number four.
I just believe it, man.
It's a revenge tour. Philadelphia Eagles.
From your lips to Michael Vick's legs and arm. Shannon,
but I think our defense is going to come on. It's good to hear that Nnamdi's back. Of course, it's good to have Mike back. I think, like you said, we cannot turn the ball over. We can't even have any turnovers. Forget 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't think we can have any turnovers. We got to play smart Eagles football, man, and I just feel they need to click because we just do, man. We're due for at least a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 game winning streak, man, because we sure haven't seen it for the regular season yet, you know?
I certainly hope they can get hot. It would be great to see, you know, but you got to take it one step at a time, and I think most fans are at the point. Hey, Shan, thank you very much for the phone call, and I hope we get to see you before the game on Sunday. I think most fans at this point are like, look, I've heard the talk from the players all season long about we're going to get this thing turned around, hurting the press conferences. You got to show us now. We're at the point where you've got to show us. Sports Illustrated, we'll talk about this a little bit later on the show. Sports Illustrated had a NFL players poll, and Eagles fans were ranked number one as the toughest to play in front of. And I know a lot of people were joking initially by saying, well, you know, obviously they've been struggling at home. That's probably most of the Eagles players. But, I mean, that shows you that Eagles fans are still respected throughout the players. And this is not other
fans.
They
show up. In Seattle last Thursday, I saw Eagles fans all over the place. Everywhere you go, the Eagles fans will travel.
They're going to invade Miami.
One game when the schedule comes out that you circle. This is the perfect road trip game.
Yes.
When we had our draft, number one overall
number
pick.
Number one. It wasn't
Miami.
Even
this
question.
Is the one.
It was the Andrew Luck of the road trip selection draft. So, all right, so what we're going to do, we're going to go back to Fort Lauderdale in just a couple seconds. We'll take a commercial break. We're going to get Joe Don from the Parrot Lounge in Fort Lauderdale on the show right here on Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham and you're watching Eagles Live.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah and I just want to wish you all a very happy holiday season.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we're pleased to be joined by telephone from Fort Lauderdale once again by Joe O'Donnell, who is the co-owner of the Parrot Lounge, who basically gives everyone down there in Florida a little taste of Philly. And Joe, supposedly it's going to be rocking this weekend with the Eagles invading Miami to play the Dolphins. What is the atmosphere there right now at the Parrot Lounge?
Well, right now we have a hotel right across the street from us, and a lot of people are checking in as we speak. I'm still at work, but last night we were very busy. I was surprised how many people actually came down on Thursday. Usually people are checking in on a Friday, so I expect it to be mobbed.
Hey, Joe, what kind of weather is it like down there? What can we expect for the game on Sunday?
Well, by Sunday, it should clear. I mean, it was cold. It was supposed to be 80 and mild for 3 days. I hate to say it, right now it's raining, but they're talking about turning up in the next 2 or 3 hours.
80 degrees.
You see, it's starting to wake up a little bit. But it's going to be in the 80s, and they're still calling for sun.
It's about 40 right now, I think, in Philadelphia. It finally just clicked over to winter.
I was so cold in my car this morning. I can't believe you got to go to Miami. Ugh.
Yeah, I was just up in Philly 2 weeks ago. So
now, Joe, talk about how did you end up down there in Fort Lauderdale, because you're a Philly native originally. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I actually grew up in the southwest section of Philadelphia.
And how long ago did you go to Florida?
High school.
What's that? I'm sorry there.
Yeah, a bunch of – we got together. We used to spend our summers when we were younger, my friends and I, in Wildwood and places like that. And around 1977, there was 10 of us around that. We all decided to move to Fort Lauderdale just to keep the summer going. After Wildwood, and we went down there, and we walked into this bar right off the beach called the Parrot, and we didn't know anything about it. And we walked up having a couple of drinks in the place, and we loved it. And the original owner of the Parrot is from Philadelphia, and he opened it in 1970, so we just kind of hung out there. And he took a liking to us, and spring break came along, and he hired a couple of us, and from there we just worked our way up, and all like friends, and then we decided to get a big satellite dish in the 80s so we can watch the Eagles games, because you couldn't get them back there, down here back then. And from there, we just built the business up with the Eagles fans. People knew they could come by and start watching the games. No matter what the record was, we were going to have it on. And it just came from there, and people enjoyed itself. And by word of mouth, and now with Internet, Facebook, and everything else, you know, we got a really nice crowd going on every game down here.
Joe, about how many Eagles fans do you get down there for a typical game, and how many are you expecting this weekend with the fact that the Eagles are playing in Miami?
For a regular Eagles game, we hold like 300 people inside, another 100 or so outside, because we have outdoor seating with big TVs outside. And down here, the weather's always nice, so people don't mind sitting outside. But In 2003, when the Eagles were down here last time, we must have had 15,000 people.
Wow, jeez. So,
you know, I'm hoping for something even similar to that. I'll be very happy.
Joe, is there a game over the last few years that stands out just in terms of the atmosphere at the Parrot?
Well, any of the playoff games are just so intense. I mean, and when he beat Atlanta, obviously back in 2004, I mean, that was insane. I mean, Giants game last year was such a fun time because they were so far behind when they made that comeback in the fourth quarter. The electricity in the room was just unbelievable. But like I said, any playoff game just really jacks it up a little bit more.
Now, Joe, why do you think Eagles fans travel so well? And it's not just to Miami. Bo was in Seattle last week, and there were thousands of Eagles fans out there. Why is it that Eagles fans are willing to travel all over the country to see their team play?
Oh, it's a passion. I mean, we all grew up with the team. I mean, I'm 55 now, but I used to go watch the Eagles in Franklin Field with my dad. So it's a homebred thing. I mean, you grow up with the Eagles. You just love them. You feel like you're part of the team, like you're part owner of the team to a certain degree, and you want them to do so well. That you're going to root for them. You're going to back them. It's like backing your friend up somewhere. You know, somebody is messing with one of your buddies, you back them up. So it's like you're just going to push the Eagles, and you're going to have their back no matter what, good or bad.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna take up a little beef with the Dolphins later in the show.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Joe, that stadium is going to be more Eagle fans than Dolphins fans.
Oh, I certainly believe that. Now, Joe, before we let you get going here, where can fans who are heading down there to Miami or listening to the show right now are kind of like, how do I get down there? Where's this place at? Where can they find out more information about the Parrot Lounge?
The Parrot is one of the oldest bars in Fort Lauderdale, and it's right off the beach. If anybody knows the way or they can ask, Fort Lauderdale's not that big of a beach area. It's Sunrise Boulevard and A1A, which are two main roads. You can ask anybody, because, again, if you're on the beach of Fort Lauderdale, it's only about a three-mile-long strip. And, again, with us being so open so long, a lot of the other places would be happy to give you directions.
Joe O'Donnell, the co-owner of the Parrot down there in Fort Lauderdale, one of the best Philly bars around in the entire nation, not just down there in Florida. It's going to be invaded all weekend long with Eagles fans who are traveling to see the team beat up on the Dolphins. Joe, thank you very much for taking some time out
to
join us here.
Thank you guys very much.
In the studio.
Really nice talking to you. I hope to see you guys.
Certainly. I hope to be able to get down there this weekend.
Hey.
So, Joe O'Donnell.
Eagles, huh?
Joe O'Donnell for the Parrot Lounge in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you for joining us once again here on Eagles Live.
Smartphones and tablets. I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
I mean, not really, because knowing this game and knowing how quickly you can be humbled, it doesn't matter how much talent you have on individually on the team. It takes a team to win some games, and so it doesn't surprise me. I know they got great players on the team, and they are a really good team. But I've been in that position before, where we've had a great lineup, great roster, but. It's just you have to play together well as a team, and which is also the reason why we're 4-8. So,
have you started thinking about 1,000 yards yet?
No, not at all. Just thinking about winning the next game, playing against the Philadelphia Eagles, and being effective, running for 4 yards every time I touch the ball, and just being aggressive.
What would it mean to you, I guess, to get to that mark?
It was just me and I got 1,000 yards. It's all over me.
Have you had to prove your toughness, do you think, throughout a lot of your career? You're not the biggest guy, but now here you are running through between the tackles. A lot of people around the league are saying he's not a feature back. Mm-hmm. He can't do this, can't do. Mm-hmm. Have you had to prove your toughness your whole career?
I guess so, in a sense. I guess you could say that, just because naturally, because I'm not a bigger back, I'm 205 pounds on a good day, it's not something that I try to go out and prove every week. It's just something that's a part of me and part of who I am, and I think it's more of just getting an opportunity to show that rather than it not actually being a part of me.
Reggie, what's it been like to run behind this offensive line as the season's gone along?
It's been a real pleasure. I've enjoyed running behind this offensive line. From top to bottom, these guys do a great job at really allowing me to go out and be a playmaker, and most of the credit goes to them and the job they've been able to do week in and week out, and also with Googe, offensive line coach, the job he's been doing, just getting me in space and just giving me the opportunity to go out there and make plays, and so it's been a real pleasure, and I've enjoyed it, and still looking forward to it this week. I look forward to it every week.
Hey, Reggie, going on to Philadelphia for a minute. What have you seen on their pass rush and their defensive line, the linebackers?
Well, they're fast defense. A little undersized, but they're fast, and they move around quick. They can do a good job at creating pressure on the quarterback, starting with the defensive ends. So we got to do a good job at maintaining that and dominating up front and really controlling them the whole game. Running backs got to get chips on we got to chip blocks on the DNs and just do a good job at making sure Matt has enough time back there to throw the ball. And when we do that, he's an effective quarterback. He plays well. So we just got to make it an emphasis that we protect him.
Can you talk about what Matt's done the last month and a half? And
yeah.
Do you think he's making a statement that he can be the quarterback of the future here, not just for this year?
I've been saying since I got here, or since he stepped in, he has all the tools to be a great quarterback in this league. And he's been doing a great job these past month and a half, 2 months, at really just managing the game, going out there, being a leader, everything we need him to be, making some tremendous throws. So I think he's just getting better and better every week, and it's a pleasure playing with him.
Hey, Reggie,
we got Matt right outside.
The football team looks like he played on a Super Bowl winner and one or two other playoff teams. This team, does this team have the talent in the locker room to be a serious throw the current record out the window?
I think this team is, we've definitely haven't played up to our capability in the first few weeks, the first 6-7 weeks. I think we're a lot stronger, a lot better team than what we've been able to show and what we've showed early on. And I think when you see when we're all on the same page and clicking, you see how dangerous we can be, you know, from the receivers to the tight ends, the running backs, the quarterback, everybody across the board, and then you throw the defense in there who's been doing a great job at really limiting other teams from scoring touchdowns this past month or so. So that, I think all across the board, you know, when we focus down and we focus on the task ahead, which is just being aggressive, attacking the whole game, I think that's what we do best, you know, when we're all on the same page. And when we do that, you know, we're a force to reckon with.
Have you ever found yourself playing the role of mentor to Daniel Thomas? And could you talk about that relationship?
Yeah. I really enjoy working with Daniel because he's young and at the same time he's hungry and he's humble. You know, it's not too many times you get or you can get guys who, you know, kind of think they know it all coming into this league, and you know, Daniel's one of those guys who he's eager to learn. He's humble. He's hungry. He's determined. I think you can see that in the way he runs the ball, and you know, I give him some tips here and there, and he goes out and does it and makes it happen, and so it's just been a real pleasure working with him. And really proud of the job he's done this year, you know, as a rookie. I know it's not easy coming into this league from college. And I remember back when I was a rookie coming into this league, I had a guy named Deuce McAllister who looked out for me and really helped me with the ins and outs of football and NFL and life in the NFL. So I'm just trying to pass that down to him. I think he's doing a great job at handling it.
Okay, guys, we'll bring Matt Ryan in. Thank you.
Great stuff there from Reggie Bush. Now, Bo, do you have a favorite Eagles-related holiday memory from your time here?
Oh, geez. I mean, if you count, obviously, the beatdown on the Cowboys in 2008, that was, you know, sort of New Year's Eve holiday, but I'll probably go with that one.
I also have to go Jeff Garcia, the 2006 season on Christmas Eve when he's running off the field after kicking the Cowboys' butt, and he goes, "Merry Christmas, Philadelphia."
Very nice.
Definitely inspired.
Houston Texan, Jeff Garcia.
Certainly. So
bizarre.
Now, if you have a favorite holiday memory, make sure to check out the Fan Zone section at philadelphiaeagles.com and submit your favorite Eagles holiday memory for a chance to win tickets to next week's game against the New York Jets. You'll get sideline passes as well as other great autograph swag is available. Now, the contest ends next Wednesday at noon, so make sure to hurry. Go to philadelphiaeagles.com and check out the Fan Zone section and submit your special Eagles holiday memory today and have a chance to win great prizes. We're going to have Armando Salguero on in just a little bit from the Miami Herald to take us behind enemy lines, but now we welcome Carl from Cleveland.
Paul.
Paul from Cleveland. Paul, what's going on, man?
What's up, fellas?
Big Paul, what's going on?
Continued good job as always.
Appreciate it, Paul.
I'm not quite as optimistic as our friend Shannon. I'm actually in Miami right now.
It's easy to be optimistic when you're sitting in 80 degree weather.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Right. You guys going to be able to get to Miami Beach at all? The beach?
Don't know. We get there tomorrow afternoon. You get one night in the town, and then the game's at 1. So if it was a Sunday night game, possibly, but...
So you're going to pack your Speedo?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
I got you.
Red, white, and blue. American colors.
There's a great Haitian restaurant in Miami Beach off the beaten path called Tap Tap. It's an easy name to remember, Tap Tap. Check it out if you have time.
No, certainly. I'm going to have to eat Saturday night, so definitely, if it's a good spot. I might have to check it out. Appreciate the recommendation. See, everyone's been to Miami.
Yep.
That's how great a place it is. So,
I'm just a little concerned. You know, certainly we thought they would come out, you know, guns blazing, so to speak, in Seattle, with the emotion and the fundamentals, which we've been hearing being preached week in and week out. This defense has trouble with angles and tackling. Obviously, I'm kind of concerned. You know, with Reggie Bush getting in space, like, you know, those great segments Greg Cosell showed. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. Like, they've got a big offensive line, you know, with Jake Long there. And I don't know. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback these days, you know, even if he's a game manager, you know, Skelton and other guys have been able to victimize the defense, especially if they're playing in these soft zones. You know, I just hope we see a sense of urgency like you guys have been talking about, guys coming in focused and, you know, making their reads and catching passes and, you know, not making inopportune penalties. You know, I don't really have a score prediction per se, but you know, I just want to see us come out, you know, playing sustained four quarters, and you know, I'll just hang up and
we'll react. No, Paul, thanks very much
for the
phone
call.
And that's the more realistic point of view, because that's what we've seen from this team so far, and it's been frustrating on defense because it's not like one thing to me that's consistent. It's like something different that erupts each and every week. And going last week against Seattle, where it was broken down that basically the Eagles utilized, or I should say the Seahawks utilized, a run play that the Eagles developed against them, and they just ran it at the one side of the line, ran it at Jason Babin, ran it at Asante Samuel, at Akeem Jordan, just ran it at that side of the line consistently, and the Eagles were not able to make, I don't want to say to make adjustments, but they were not able to get the problem solved, and that led to, you got Marshawn Lynch's big 40-yard touchdown, and they had consistent success running to that side of the field. Teams are going to see that on tape, and of course, until a team stops it, they're going to keep trying it. Now, what's going to be intriguing is, knowing you're going to have now Keaton Clayton and Casey Matthews out there in a lot of those nickel situations, which will be, I think, a good amount of the formations you'll see on the field, will the Dolphins, who have a very physical offensive line, one that was told by one player to me in the locker room, a very dirty offensive line, another player said this is the most physical offense they're going to see all season long.
Uh-huh.
Are they just going to try to spread them out, get the Eagles in that nickel formation, and just attack with that offensive line and try to get Reggie Bush out in space and try to have them attack the edges of this Eagles defense?
And we talk about this all the time, but it once again brings up the importance for the Eagles of getting ahead in this game and playing from ahead and making the Dolphins somewhat one-dimensional. They will be able to get pressure on Matt Moore if they're in definite passing situations. Jason Babin against Mark Colombo. Mark Colombo has not had a good season. He's let up several sacks. I think, you know, Pro Football Focus has the 70-something tackles who are eligible, and Colombo's like 10th from the bottom. He's
former Cowboy, so he's a guy that we're very familiar with.
And Babin, obviously, third in the league in sacks, so he should be able to get some pressure. And then Jake Long has been good, but he hasn't been as good as he was last year. I think he's let up 6 sacks this season. And Trent Cole is a guy who has sort of been battling through that calf injury, and he hasn't been quite himself. So I would like to see Trent make an impact against Jake Long. Hopefully we'll get him in the studio later, because every time he's been in the studio this season, we always tease him. The Eagles have won, so he's got to come in for the Eagles to get a win on Sunday.
Well, obviously he hasn't come in the studio enough this season. The team is 4-8 right now, so definitely got to work on that. And, you know, the whole notion of these quarterbacks who are game managers, the Eagles saw one with Alex Smith, they saw one with John Skelton. I mean, it's not so much the game manager, it's they just don't turn the ball over. They're not making costly mistakes. That's the key. That's what they got to try to force Matt Moore to do. And even though Matt Moore doesn't appear to be this great scrambling quarterback, a number of the players in the locker room have said how he's very good at getting out of pressure. He's very good at buying time with his feet and just doing enough to be able to extend plays, to find open receivers, and he's just getting the ball to his playmakers. He's getting it to Anthony Fasano. He's getting it to Brandon Marshall. He's getting it to Devon Bess. He's just spreading the ball around, getting it to Reggie Bush, just getting in the hands of his playmakers.
And he's been very good on the third downs, picking up first downs, either of those intermediate routes to those guys you mentioned, or himself running. He's been very good at getting, you know, 6 yards on a 3rd and 5, stuff like that. And Juan Castillo mentioned that yesterday. So, you know, Matt Morris is playing very well. How could you say that the Eagles at 4-8 could underestimate anybody? But this is a very good Dolphins team right now. They're playing as good as anybody in the league outside of the Packers.
I almost wonder, on the flip side, do the Dolphins maybe overlook the Eagles? Because a lot of the talk, reading the papers in Miami, reading the stories from there, it's how will this Dolphins team match up at the end of the year? Because I believe all 3 of their final games are against AFC East teams. How will they match up in a chance to kind of prove themselves and use the end of this season as a launching pad for next season? And it's like, have they completely already kind of just looked past the Eagles, saying that they're 4-8 and that, you know, it's not a conference game, it's not a division game, who really cares? The Eagles are struggling like they are this season. Maybe the Dolphins are riding a little high themselves, and maybe there's a chance they could overlook the Eagles going into this matchup, which would be very dangerous because the Eagles are getting Michael Vick back and most likely getting Jeremy Maclin back in the lineup.
Well said. All right, let's take a quick commercial break now on Eagles Live. On the other side, we're going to talk to Armando Salguero, go behind enemy lines and get the scoop on those Dolphins that we were just talking about. More on the other side right here on Eagles Live.
Z
join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fans, Tackle Todd Harriman's here. Just wanted to wish you all a happy and wonderful holiday season.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Reggie Bush was just ripping you.
I bet. Everybody else does. So.
No, I'm just kidding. Matt, you guys rushed for like 206, 209 yards last week or whatever it was. Is there a blueprint for how Reggie and Daniel Thomas should be used? And if so, was last week pretty close to it?
Yeah, I'd say that was close to it, you know. I think you just kind of got to go with the flow of the game, see how it's going. And I think, the play calls coming in were good at the time, you know. And I think we saw that we could run the ball on them. I think those two guys, you know, cut at the offensive line. I think there were some holes there, and those two guys were either exploding through it or – if it was closed down, I mean, they were bouncing outside and doing a nice job. We had some perimeter runs that Reggie took advantage of, that's what he does, you know, which is good. And then DT, like I said, was just, you know, hitting some, you know, quick hitters downhill and gaining chunks of yards right in the middle of that defense. And, that makes it hard on a defense when you can just go right up the middle like that. It's a good thing for us. So, I don't, to answer, is there a blueprint? I don't know, but last week, that's a good start.
Matt, your offensive line, twice in the last few weeks, you had John Jerry filling in with Vernon this time. You had Nate with Richie. Just talk about how deep this offensive line is, how they played.
It's great. You know, those guys are, prepared like they're starters, and I think they go in and they execute, in the times that they're needed. And it's great to have people like that, can just step in and not miss a beat, you know, is good. And they work well together. I know Nate's been in a couple positions. He's always done a good job. And then John coming in, worked well on the right side with Colombo. And they seem to be getting things right. So it's just nice to have those guys, you know that you can stick them in at any time and the job's going to get done.
Matt, a lot of people around the league still are skeptical that a 205-pound back like Reggie can be a feature back, run between the tackles. Is that a sign of, I mean, are you seeing a toughness out of him that maybe a lot of people don't appreciate?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the guy is a hard-working guy, one of the hardest-working guys I've seen. I think he truly understands the run game, the scheme, and he uses it to his advantage. You know, he knows where he's supposed to go. And then his natural ability takes over when things close down and stuff like that. So I don't see I see just a toughness and a desire, I guess, to run the ball every play. I mean, that's how he acts. And when the ball's in his hands, it's such a good thing, and it's cool to watch from my perspective when he takes off, and it's a good thing.
Hey, Matt, switching over a little bit to the Eagles, talk about their secondary and their defense. What have you seen out there?
Well, obviously, they got two corners that have been around for a while. Good players, you know what I mean? You got to know kind of where they're at, if you will, at all times. You know, Asante's a guy that has made a lot of big plays, you know, and then Nnamdi's a guy that is not afraid to get in receiver's face and jam, and he'll run with you. And so those are good guys. You know, I know they're safeties. They're aggressive guys, make some plays in the back end and real aggressive in the run game as well. And they make plays that way. So, and the front seven, just kind of nonstop guys. You know, I think especially their front four, they come off the edge hard and tons of speed, you know. And so I think we need to be kind of aware of that. And I know our offensive line will do a good job with that. But, they've got some players. And the way they play is just really aggressive. And so it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, we got a good plan, and we just need to execute.
Matt, you face some really good cornerbacks this season. Are you aware of who you're throwing against? Are you like, okay, I'm throwing against Asamoah or Champ Bailey or Revis?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think the play depends, you know. I mean, sometimes the play and the scheme will take care of that. But when it's out there one-on-one, I think, yeah, you got to know. You got to know that guy, that player's strengths and weaknesses. And so... It's just something to know. You know, you walk to the line of scrimmage and just kind of peek and see how he's playing. And it all depends on the situation in the game as well. But, you got to know that player's individual skills and what he does best.
Does it ever get, I don't know if personal is the right word, but into a challenge? Do you look at the corner and he looks at you and you know that you're going against him? Does it get to that stage?
Maybe for him, not for me. I don't know. That's not how I approach it. You know, I kind of focus on what I need to do and what the receiver's going to do. But I think I try and gather as much information pre-snap and just, you know, in the week's preparation of how he's going to play, how I think he's going to play.
That's the Eagles quarterback that they will have to attack this week, or the quarterback the Eagles have to attack this week.
Yeah,
get it mixed up there. Matt Moore there for the Miami Dolphins. Again, very efficient in his time as a starter, taking over for Chad Henne. The Dolphins have won four of the last five contests. And Moore doesn't have the strongest arm, not the flashiest guy, but underrated as a scrambler. It's one thing that Derek Landry, who played with him last year in Carolina, said. And Derek was just like, look, last year the entire situation was falling apart. Not a good team. Coaching staff was on the way out. Just so much turmoil. Matt didn't really have much of a chance to succeed. Even though they kind of have that sense of turmoil a bit this year in Miami, because all the talk about Tony Sperano getting canned at the end of the year. But still, Matt Moore has been able to stabilize things, and they've won four of their last five games.
Absolutely. Going to be a tough challenge for this Eagles defense. No question about it.
And among the main promotions we have going on, if you go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Philadelphia Eagles, you can select the game day cover for the New York Jets game next Sunday. There are four covers you can vote on: Trent Cole, Jerry Macklin, Todd Harrimans, and Cullen Jenkins. Shane Pisco, our wonderful graphic designer, did a great job of laying them out. You, the fans, can select which one is the one that will be available at the Jets game next Sunday. Again, go to facebook.com/Philadelphia Eagles. The voting will end Sunday after the Miami Dolphins game.
Which is your favorite of those?
The Trent Cole one, because he's pointing.
It's a great
right,
picture.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great picture of Trent Cole. Love giving the guys that go under the radar, the guys like Todd Harriman's, you know, has done a great job playing basically every position along the offensive line except center and right guard for the team this season. Colin Jenkins has been the leader on defense. I just like giving those guys who don't normally get the pub, giving them their opportunity to get a little bit of the limelight. And you had the great interview with Jeremy Maclin, who talked about, among other things, his comeback and the season that he's having, you know, which was an outstanding one until he suffered the injuries a couple weeks ago.
And also got his thoughts on Albert Pujols.
Mm.
He's a St. Louis guy. Pujols goes to the Angels. So not a great day for Jeremy as a Cardinals fan yesterday.
Of course.
But a good week for him, a great week for him. You know, he's itching to get back on the field. One of the real toughest competitors on this Eagles team. So we talked to Jeremy in the studio. Let's find out what he had to say. And welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Very pleased to be joined by Eagles starting receiver Jeremy Maclin. And Jeremy, let's start with the big news of the day. You're a St. Louis guy. How do you feel about losing Albert Pujols?
You know, it's going to sting, man. Now we got, you know, that money that we can spend on other guys. And hopefully, you know, Mike Matheny and the rest of the crew will make some good decisions. So.
Yeah, and you guys got a title, so you can't complain too much.
Yeah, you got to keep it going, though. Got to keep it going.
All right. Now, the big news for you this week, obviously, getting back to practice. The shoulder and the hamstring hampering you a little bit. I know you've said the hamstring is the one to really monitor.
Yeah, because, you know, that's, you know, if you can't run, you can't play. You know, obviously, with the shoulder, there's ways around the shoulder, you know. So, but the hamstring, you know, those things can nag for a long time. So, you know, this time, you know, I tried to come back, you know, a few weeks ago, and then, you know, it kind of, you know, strained it again a little bit. But this time we just tried to be careful and made sure that I was ready to come back.
And I know it's frustrating for you. Obviously, you want to be on the field. And, you know, you play through pain all the time. This is the real first hamstring issue you've had, right?
Yeah, I normally don't really have hamstring issues. So, you know, maybe it's, you know, me not being in training camp or not being able to do stuff over the summer, you know, because of what I was going through or whatever. But, yeah, this is definitely a first for me.
You've been limited the last couple of days, but you feel like you'll be able to be out there on Sunday, right?
Yeah, definitely. I feel good. I think it's, you know, just trying to, you know, things precautionary. So, I think that's you know, the main focus. So.
And so it does seem like we're going to get the whole offensive crew back together Sunday in Miami. Mike Vick back at quarterback. It's been a long time coming. I'm sure you're chomping at the bit, right?
Yeah, I'm excited, man. You know, this is what, you know, everybody's looking forward to. You know, these last four games, you know, we got to really go out there and you know, make a statement. Obviously, we know there's an outside chance that some things kind of fall our way. You know, we're still riding this thing. So, but you can't get the rest of them without getting the first one. So, you know, Dolphins are what we're focused on.
It's crazy to think that, you know, 4-8, you still have a playoff chance. But, you know, if you look at the scenarios, it's really not that far-fetched.
Yeah.
You know, you guys got to take care of business, obviously. But do you allow yourself to look forward at all, or is it just take care of the Dolphins first and then we'll see what happens?
Definitely take care of the Dolphins first. You know, I don't know, you know, looking forward may have gotten us to the point where we are right now, you know. So it's been unfortunate. It's been an up and down season, obviously more downs than ups. But we have a chance to kind of, you know, go out on the right note. And, you know, if things fall into place to where we can continue, that's what happens. But if not, we definitely want to go on a high note.
So what do you see from this Dolphins defense? They have a pretty good pair of corners, right?
Yeah, pretty good pair of corners. Both of those guys came to the league the same time I did. So I'm familiar with them a little bit, got to know them a little bit. And we know that, you know, they're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. I think they've won four of the last five or something like that. So we understand we're in for a good challenge, and, you know, they're playing in their hometown and their stadium. So, but I think guys really, really understand, and I think guys are definitely up for this game. And, you know, nobody likes to be talked about, you know, and right now that's all, you know, the whole season we've been talked about. So we want to kind of, you know, ease people's thoughts a little bit and just go out there and make a statement and prove that, you know, we can play like the team everybody thought we were.
Turnovers has been such an issue for this team all season long. You know, you guys, you're third in the league in total offense, stuff like that, but the turnovers really have hampered you. Is there anything that you do special to ward them off, or is it sort of just, you know, focus and hopefully it'll just turn it around?
Just focus, man. Take care of the ball. Simple as that. You know, whether it be an interception or a fumble or, you know, it's a lot of people look at interceptions, blame it on the quarterback. It's not necessarily quarterback's fault all the time. It can be, you know, a receiver not being in the right place at the right time, a lineman not getting somebody's hands down, tip ball. So It's a full team effort, and no one person is to blame. You know, we just got to take care of the ball better. So I think I've never been a part of something that turnovers really impacted like this, and it's true what they say, turnovers can definitely win or lose you a game.
I want to ask you quickly about the Deshaun on NFL Network thing last week, because we've been talking about how ridiculous it was, and you know they showed Deshaun solo running a route and sort of jogging at the end, but they don't show the all 22. Like, you know, he's supposed to clear out the route on that play, right? Is that fair to say?
I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, it's like I say, I don't like the way people are trying to, you know, throw everything up and try to blame one person about this. You know, we were sitting at 8-4 instead of 4-8. I don't think people would even single somebody out and do that. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that people do that, but at the same time, you can't really worry about that, man. He's got to go out there and take care of business. I tell you right now, we're still all behind him. You know, we still trust him as a teammate, and so, you know, that's not a problem for us. And the whole Vince Young thing, who was he talking to?
Talking to Riley Cooper, who's sitting right next to him. Yeah.
But they did not show Riley Cooper, so it's unfortunate, like I said, that they made it seem like that. But no, we are everybody within the organization know the deal. So.
Do you try to internalize stuff like that and sort of make it, you know, us against them kind of mentality?
It is what it is, because I feel like, you know, people are going to think, people are going to say whatever they want to say anyways. All that matters is, you know, the people within this organization, the owner, the GM, the coaches, the players, all believe in each other. And, yeah, we love our fans, the fans to death, but, you know, we like the loyal fans as well. So if you want to turn your back on us, then so be it. But at the same time, you know, we're out there playing the game, and at the end of the day, we're playing for ourselves and for everybody else in this organization.
What did you think of how Riley did in your place?
I think he played well, man. You know, I think he played well. You know, like I said, you know, things happen during the course of a game that, you know, people try to single out. But I think all in all, he played well, and you know, I think he definitely stepped up. And you know, like I said, he's gonna be an important piece for us, you know, down his last little stretch too as well. So I'm just looking forward to getting back out there and playing the game.
Last thing I want to ask you about is, I'm always curious when you're at home watching the game. What kind of atmosphere is that like for you? Are you sitting by yourself on the couch? Are you sitting with fans? Like, what are you doing?
It's a little bit of both, man. When the game starts getting a little hectic or whatever, you know, I kind of, you know, go by myself a little bit. You know, my family was in town for Thanksgiving, so they, you know, they watched the game with me then. But, you know, it's frustrating to know that, you know, this is the team I play for, and I can't be out there, you know, playing with my team, playing with my friends. So
you're trying to like read defenses as.
I mean, I do it all. I'm calling plays and stuff like that too. So, you know, but I definitely, you know, would rather be there, of course, obviously.
Well, we're all very much looking forward to seeing you back out on the field Sunday, Jeremy. Thanks so much for joining us in the studio.
No problem. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Back with more on the other side, right here on Eagles.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers Cromartie. I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We'll be right back.
What shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live. Great interview on your part there with Jerry Macklin. Certainly, again, enjoyed hearing his insight. Now, if you are headed to the game this Sunday down there at Sun Life Stadium, make sure before you go to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Philadelphia Eagles, and click on the Going to Miami tab. Certainly, we want to hear from all the Eagles fans who are going to be invading. There's going to be 10,000 to 15,000 Eagles fans down there.
It's going to be in the city where the heat is on.
It's going to be Miami-Delphia this weekend. Certainly looking forward to seeing all the Eagles fans down there. Turn that stadium into a little holiday midnight green a couple weeks before Christmas. The last time I didn't get to go to that game in 2003, which will forever be known for the Correll Buckhalter flip into the end zone. But when you talk to people who were at that game, all they talk about was the fan support. Thousands upon thousands of Eagles fans who took over the stadium. So certainly looking forward to the environment. I can't wait for the tailgate scene. Ryan McCann and I, we're going to have our cameras out there in the parking lot. So definitely, again, go to the facebook.com/Philadelphia Eagles. Click on the Going to Miami tab if you're heading down to the game. And we'll try to find you before the game on Sunday. Dave's going to have Spud Cam, so we're going to have it completely covered.
80 degrees. I'm so jealous.
You should have traded up.
Yeah. I wanted to give you a little
something.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Got the seniority. That's nice.
So kind of you, to say the very least. It's one of the few stadiums I've not been to. That's the other reason.
Oh, this one too?
Yes.
I knew Buffalo.
Not done Miami either.
Okay. Well, then I couldn't take that away from you. So you have only one left, right?
It'll be Tennessee. Tennessee will be the last stadium. And we don't play there again for 8 years. So unless they can concoct a... What's that?
Seven years.
There you go. Unless they can concoct a preseason matchup there. May not happen.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Mystery caller, who are you? Where are you calling from? And what do you want to say about the game?
Chris from New York.
Chris from New York.
Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much. I didn't know I was a mystery caller.
Yes, you're now Mr. Mystery from now on when you call into Eagles Live.
All right.
You can use that on the ladies. You're a man of intrigue.
Man of mystery. I was actually calling. I should call yesterday, but I saw this funny thing on YouTube. I don't know if you guys seen it.
What's that?
It's an 8-year-old kid, and it's called I Hate You, Tom Brady.
Okay.
I explore all Eagle fans to look it up. It's basically he's watching the Eagles-Patriots game, and he just starts crying at the TV saying, I hate you, Tom Brady.
I might start crying, too, if I have to rewatch the highlights of that game. So I don't know if I want to watch it either. I might be worse than... I've heard about a couple of these YouTube clips with the fans going off, but I haven't seen them. Bo's bringing it up on the computer.
It's got to be brand new. I just saw it yesterday. I looked for you, and it just for some reason went to me.
It looks like a shirt that Max Rappaport would be wearing.
It does. He's got the lumberjack
shirt going. Rappaport. So unfortunately, it's freezing on our computer right now. But we'll definitely check it out. If we can somehow get it on the show, we'll try to get it on the show here. Actually, we have a great segment coming up
where
people don't think that the Eagles and Dolphins are spirited rivals, but we have someone.
This goes back a long time, and we do not forget. Okay,
no.
Eagles fans, like elephants, never forget. Okay, and we're gonna take it to the Dolphins for one reason. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, heated rivalry. Maybe as heated as any that we play.
No question, especially for one bird in particular.
Now, news from the practice field: Asante Samuel not practicing, excused for personal reasons. He's not out there, and then everybody else who was limited yesterday is practicing. Danny Watkins, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, Trent Cole, Cullen Jenkins, and Jeremy Macklin. So
we'll have the latest on that. When Andy Reid addresses the media about 1 o'clock, we will carry that live. And we will also carry Michael Vick. Will we carry that live, Ryan? Michael Vick's probably not. Okay.
We'll have that shortly after the show. Could be a reach.
Certainly.
Oh, well, we're good?
It's all good here.
Why don't we throw...
Did Chris leave?
Huh?
We don't have Chris.
No, I'm still here.
Chris, you're still here. Any other take on the game?
I wasn't sure...
I wasn't sure if you're still there or not, so.
What's that?
No, we weren't sure if you were still on the line or not, so.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was, too. That's what I was confused.
Any other take on the game this Sunday? Anything in particular you're looking for? Or
I just want to see the Eagles finish the season strong. I don't care about positioning myself good for the draft. I just, you know, you finish strong, build momentum for the next year. That's really it.
Really,
fair enough.
And as Jeremy said, Chris, thank you very much for the phone call. As Jeremy said, you got to win the first one to be able to do the rest. And a lot of times, what you see is you see teams who finish the year strong. Doesn't really go noticed because they were out of the playoff picture at that point, but they can carry that momentum into next season. And certainly with the full off season of mini camps and OTAs, you certainly would hope that that would allow the guys who were rushed into the scheme this year, maybe not able to get on board as quickly as everyone would have hoped for or would have liked, they can get that year under their belt, they can get the entire off season, and you can have a more cohesive unit, because I definitely think the talent is here with this team. It's just now a matter of making it into a team. And I think that's been one of the things that's been plaguing this team all season long.
That's exactly right. All right, Casey Matthews, a guy who entered the season as a starter, not a starter for the last few weeks. He's going to be playing sort of starter minutes as the nickel linebacker alongside Keaton Clayton against the Dolphins. We found out yesterday in the locker room, and let's get Casey's reaction to the promotion.
So it looked like you're getting some reps in the first nickel with Keenan there. What do you think you did kind of in practice to kind of earn a shot here, and how exciting is it to get back out there?
It's very exciting to get back out. Obviously, you know, just get back out on the field other than short yardage reps. You want to feel you're, you know, part of it. You're going to help the team out. But really, you know, just being patient for the last 8 weeks. I mean, still coming here, putting all the work in. The coach noticed that and, you know, gave me another opportunity to play. And me not on base, it's able for all the backers to, you know, get an opportunity to play. So, you know, looking forward to getting out there again.
How much more prepared do you feel now than kind of when you were thrown into the fire early on?
I feel a lot more prepared. Obviously, you know, when B-roll was put in, I was able to you know, kind of step back and, you know, get an actual grasp of the defense. And, you know, being able to look at it like that, I mean, during camp, you know, when I was first in there, you know, everything was on the run. And just trying to learn on the fly, it was tough. But, you know, being able, you know, having the 8 weeks, you know, get, you know, pick up the terms and, you know, just the defenses as a whole, and I feel that's what's helped me to right now be able to understand it better.
From the outside, this looks like musical chairs. Just something to shake things up when you guys are four. Do you see us more in that, though? I mean, do you feel like you've earned this as much as anything?
I mean, it goes both ways. Well, obviously, you know, we're 4-8. You know, they're going to, you know, keep changing stuff up, but, you know, definitely it's another opportunity to go out there and show what I can do, and, you know, need to take advantage of it this time. You know, just head, you know, depending on how this year ends, I mean, still an outside shot at the playoffs, but, I mean, it's, you know, it's still a long shot, but we still have a possibility. You know, just putting a lot of hard work and a lot of effort and just heading next year. Yeah, I mean, you got to overcome it, but I think we've been with each other long enough. Obviously, early in the year, it was a little tougher, you know, getting to know new people. But, man, we've gotten to know each other as a unit. You know, that's what Juan's done a good job of. He makes each person tell their life story in front of the defense, just so you can get it better, you know, get to know them better. And so they should be confident. I mean, we're confident with anyone they put in, so.
You've been playing in run situations, I guess, until now. Now you're going to be coming in pass situations. What about the change? How do you feel about switching, I guess, from being more run-focused now kind of more pass-focused, it seems like?
Again, I just look at it as another opportunity, obviously, to get back out on the field. Obviously, you know, the nickel, you know, you get a lot of big plays. That's, you know, mostly where we pressure and get opportunity to, you know, force the quarterback from making a bad pass or, you know, getting a sack if we bring some pressures. But, Yeah, I mean, obviously it's something new, but you know, looking forward to taking advantage of it.
Do you feel like this is like a full game? Obviously, everybody wants to start. Kind of look at this as a four game tryout for the future and maybe going into next year.
I mean, every week in the NFL, I mean, I mean, they're always looking for people. I mean, you definitely got to, you know, show up and, you know, put in your best effort each and every week at work. But, I mean, as you said it, you know, getting an opportunity to play in these last four games, you need to go out there, again, you know, show what you can do and just head and have a strong showing ahead in the offseason.
Casey Matthews was quite surprised when he came out of the training room into the locker room yesterday after practice and saw the horde of reporters awaiting him. So he kind of knew, oh, they know what they're going to be talking about.
That's
there.
Right.
So obviously the big story out of yesterday afternoon's practice. Again, Casey Matthews and Keenan Clayton are your first team nickel linebackers, taking the place of Jamar Cheney and Brian Roll. It'll be very intriguing to see how they can mesh with this defensive line and with the rest of the secondary, where Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will be back in the lineup most likely at the nickel corner position. So, back in 1994, Eagles-Dolphins rivalry, something that really hasn't been that big over the years, took a real sudden turn, and it was all thanks to one man who has never
completely uncalled for, one of the most disgraceful things you will ever see on a football field. Makes me sick to watch it.
Absolutely disgusting. And it's a man who had no game, deep root of the Eagles-Dolphins rivalry and why it's going to erupt.
I don't even know if I can watch.
It's going to erupt this Sunday down there in Miami. Let's see why.
Makes me sick.
You realize what you've just done? You just cost me 25 grand, Polly.
Yeah? Show me.
Really?
The National Football League would now like to offer a special thank you to the man who rescued Dan Marino and our beloved Snowflake, a great humanitarian and a lover of all animals, Mr. Ace Ventura.
Get off me! Get off me!
Swoop, your take on the matchup here. There's the enemy right there. Swoop is ready. Look how swell he is going into this game. Never forget 1994.
Never forget. This injustice will not stand, man.
Swoop, get ready to get after him. This Sunday in Miami. Great stuff there. We'll have more for you coming up here on the show on Eagles Live.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Grossman in the shotgun, and also Cooley, who makes the catch, and he is down and down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
And it's time for our weekly fantasy spin here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, where we bring along Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, Michael Vick is set to return to the lineup. And on FantasyGuru.com, you have him projected as the seventh highest quarterback going into this week's slate of games. Are you guys confident that he'll be able to return to form?
Well, when projecting a guy like Michael Vick, Chris, it's always tricky because even when you think you're being conservative with his production, the rushing yards kind of push him into that upper stratosphere quarterback. The fact of the matter is, as Michael Vick owners know, when he's actually out there, he has got to play really, really poorly to make it not worth starting him. So chances are you probably don't have a better quarterback with Michael Vick than Michael Vick if you drafted him in the first round or if you ended up trading for him. Chances are he's your best option. The issue that I see is Miami's defense has really been improving. Cameron Wake in the pass rush, not great, but it's solid. The key issue here, Vontae Davis is a real shutdown corner. The Eagles are going to have to play controlled football. And really, outside of the Dallas game, we haven't seen that from this offense this year.
Now, Joe, obviously if you have LeSean McCoy, you're starting him, no questions asked. But how do you feel about the two wide receivers, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin? Looks like he's going to play after missing 3 weeks with the shoulder and hamstring injuries.
Well, my question is, and I wish I had a little bug in the Miami defensive meeting room, because I would really like to know which way the Dolphins are going to try to defend these receivers. Do they view Jeremy Maclin as the Eagles' number one receiver, therefore putting Vontae Davis on him? Or do they view DeSean Jackson as the guy they need to shut down to prevent the Eagles from stretching the field? My gut feeling is Vontae Davis is going to start the game on DeSean Jackson to prevent the Eagles from getting down the field, in which case Jeremy Maclin should be able to kick off some rust against Sean Smith, who's a big corner but a slower corner, somebody Maclin should be able to beat. Right now, though, if Maclin starts coming out and putting up big numbers, I would not be shocked if they switched Vontae Davis over to his side, thus opening things up for DeSean Jackson. Because of the presence of Vontae Davis, I have both Maclin and Jackson kind of mid-tier receivers. And Jackson, as we've talked about the last couple weeks, he just hasn't come through for fantasy. So if you've had a guy like a Victor Cruz or a Laurent Robinson or last night an Antonio Brown, who's been really a consistent option, it's viable if you want to sit Sean Jackson at this point because you don't know what to expect from him or from Michael Vick.
Let's look at the Eagles' defense for a second. Should they be able to stop Matt Moore, the ultimate force that he has become for the Dolphins?
Should they be able to stop him? Yes. Will they stop him? I'm not too sure about that. The Eagles are going to have to try to get to Matt Moore at the pass rush, but the Dolphins are doing a really nice job just putting the guy in a position where he can succeed. He's making good decisions. He's getting the ball out quickly. And they're running the ball effectively with Reggie Bush. You know, they're using Reggie Bush in a different way than he's ever been used before. They're really getting him to the edge. They're putting him in space. They're running kind of a toss sweep, which I believe Mr. Kaplan and Mr. Cosell broke down with you on Eagles Nightly.
Yes, they did.
And I expect what I believe the Dolphins are going to try to do is they're going to run the ball directly out of Asante Samuel. They're going to try to force Asante Samuel to tackle. And while Reggie Bush isn't a big bruiser, they think that Reggie Bush has the ability to break Asante Samuel's tackles if he's running right at him. So I would expect a heavy dosage of Reggie Bush to the perimeters. And then Daniel Thomas, the rookie running back who had a nice game last week, I expect him to attack up the middle at the running backs, and then that'll open things up for Brandon Marshall and the wide receivers. Now, if I was the Eagles defensive coordinator, I would tell Nnamdi Asamoah to follow Brandon Marshall around. I don't care if he's in the game, out of the game, outside of the stadium. I want Nnamdi Asamoah covering Brandon Marshall. I'm just not sure that's going to happen.
Joe Dolan, not only a fantasy expert, but also an avid Eagles nightly viewer. I love that.
Yes, indeed.
The big injury last week was Matt Forte in Chicago. Marion Barber is the guy who's next up there. How high do you have him rated, and is there anybody else we should keep an eye out on in the Bears' backfield?
Well, there's a problem with Marion Barber. The problem is he can't play anymore. You know, he's kind of a change of pace running back, and in that role, he's had some success. He's actually scored more touchdowns this year than Matt Forte. But I would expect Barber to be kind of maybe a 12 to 14 carry a game guy, so long as the Bears can stay in a game. But Lovie Smith talked this week about third down situations and passing down situations, and he was very frank. He said, you know, Marion Barber, he's not going to be able to handle himself in these situations, at least not as well as Matt Forte. So I would expect the Bears to rotate in third-year back Khalil Bell. And as I mentioned on Eagles Nightly this week, Eagles fans should remember him because Khalil Bell's first ever game came against the Eagles on a Monday night 2 years ago, and actually on his first career run, I think he scampered for like 50 yards against the Eagles. So, the point notwithstanding, he becomes more of a receiving option, a guy who can play on the third downs in the passing yardage situations. So if you're desperate, if you've lost Forte, if you had James Starks and he's hurt, if you had Peterson and you're not sure about his availability, Khalil Bell is one of the guys that you can go out, pick up, and he might get 6 or 7 touches for you this week.
Sticking with that same game for the other side, the Denver Broncos, will Tim Tebow be able to succeed against that Bears defense?
You know, we talked about Tim Tebow against the Jets a couple weeks ago, and my answer was, do I think Tim Tebow is going to succeed against the Jets? My answer to that was no. Well, for 55 minutes, he didn't, and then for the last 5 minutes, he turned on that Tebow magic or whatever you want to call it. The Bears, to me, seem like they'd be a difficult matchup for Tebow because they're highly disciplined. They just line up and play. They do what they do. So I would think the Bears, knowing how disciplined they've been all season long, they'd be able to snuff out that read option and force Tebow to throw the ball. The one thing about Tebow, though, is he looked more comfortable throwing the ball last week. I just wouldn't expect the Bear defensive backs to make the same mental errors that the Vikings made last week, giving Tebow some open lanes to throw the football. You know, if you have a Tebow and a Matt Moore, for instance, I'm probably starting Moore this week just because I think he's got a better matchup against the Eagles. But Tebow, he's done it every single week. He's been a starter. He's consistently in that 15 to 20 point range. So while I think the magic isn't going to last against good defenses all the time, you can't deny that the guy has run the ball well, and he's made a couple key plays here or there that have really bolstered his fantasy value. So I view him as a low-end starting quarterback, and if you've got Tebow and Matt Hasselbeck, for instance, I'm still starting Tebow.
Joe, pretty ugly year for the Redskins, obviously, but they have one good thing to be positive about is Roy Helu. Seems like he could be their running back of the future. Is he a guy who you can ride here in playoff time as a one or two back?
I would be more comfortable with him as a number two. And the reason is, I mean, last week he was the only Redskin running back to get a carry. So we've made fun of Mike Shanahan for all year, really, basically, just saying this guy can't make up his mind. He's just going to sign even Clinton Portis and bring him back, and he's going to get the carries. But at least Roy Helu's been getting them recently. And Shanahan has been putting him in a position where he can build ahead of steam. You know, he's like a lowercase DeMarco Murray, almost. Now, we talk about DeMarco Murray as a guy needing space, and he's not really a creator. He needs to build a head of steam and gain some power. I think Helu is much of the same type back. So they're running a lot of sweeps, a lot of off tackle, a lot of runs that are specifically designed to put Helu in a position where he doesn't have to run through contact until he gains a head of steam. Against the Patriots, I think Bill Belichick, though, is going to realize what Mike Shanahan has been doing with Helu. And if the Patriots can score points, maybe Helu's carries are down a little bit. The one advantage he does have, he catches the ball a lot. So I think right now you could have him firmly entrenched as your number two running back, understanding that there is some downside to using a Shanahan back. But for the last 2 weeks, he's seen almost completely exclusive touches, and that's a good thing to see.
We're on the phone with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. Last question that we have for you, Joe, is for most people, the first week of their fantasy football playoffs, do you have any special advice in terms of strategy going into this pivotal weekend?
You know, don't try to be a hero. And I say that in week one, and I say that in the first week of the playoffs. You know, if I have, let's talk about Adrian Peterson, for instance. If Adrian Peterson is active this week for a 2-10 Minnesota Vikings team, I am assuming that Adrian Peterson is going to be healthy enough to do 80 to 90% of what he typically does, because, I mean, there's really no other reason for the Vikings to play him. So if I've got an Adrian Peterson and he's active on Sunday night, I'm not going to bench him for a Ryan Grant just because Adrian Peterson has been banged up. I would rather lose with Adrian Peterson in my lineup than lose because he's on my bench and went for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. So while that might be an extreme example because Peterson is hurt, what I'm just saying is if you've had a guy here who's really gotten you to this point, he's given you no real reason to worry about him, and you just might happen to have somebody on your bench who has a little bit better matchup, just start the guy you know you can trust. What I want to do is I don't want to kick myself in the ass because I made a poor decision because I tried to get a little bit too cute with my lineup. I would rather lose because my team just got outplayed during the playoff weeks.
Joe Dolan, great advice as always. Thank you very much for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Pa, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And do we have the music? Do we have the music, Ryan? It's that time. It's been a while. Since we haven't been together.
Best part of the show. Best part of the week.
The inactives game. And yeah! Apparently, it's going to be the most decisive inactives game in Eagles Live history.
Really?
Two differences.
Wow.
On
wow.
the table.
Wow.
And I'll be honest, I forget the seven players I picked for my inactive, so let's find them out. Let's bring them on.
Chris.
So obviously, with, I mean, Hunt, one of the regulars, Dunlap back in the lineup. That's why I put Justice there. Roger Cromartie's there. Here's my thinking.
Interesting.
You're going to have four cornerbacks. You know, Curtis Marsh has been playing on special teams. I kind of wonder if the Eagles want to see a little bit more from him.
Interesting.
Keep getting him acclimated. You have all your receivers healthy. So maybe one of the receivers is made inactive, but that's why I picked Brandon Graham, kind of taking Jeremy Maclin's spot. I think Kafka becomes the inactive quarterback with Vic's return, and the rest are pretty much your traditional guys, Phillip Hunt, Julian Vandervelt. So the two differences.
I have Graham up and I have Hughes up.
Okay.
Easy switch here. I have Hughes up and Curtis Marsh down.
Okay.
And then I went Chad Hall.
You did go Chad Hall.
I went Chad Hall.
Probably
the other one.
I certainly understand that. It's Brandon Graham has been inactive. Then he was active for last week's game but didn't get a single snap on the field.
I just don't think they're gonna have six receivers up.
You know, it makes sense. And I probably would lean towards that. I mean, that's pretty much the reason I had behind it was you're getting Maclin back. Someone else has to go down. The way they seem to utilize all these guys, I would keep saying Steve Smith should be the guy.
Yeah,
who's inactive. Chad Hall could be your punt returner. Yeah. Could be featured in the return game somewhat, at least in a backup commodity. Obviously, Jerry Maclin is the backup punt returner, but maybe because of his injuries, he's not used as much.
I like the case you made for Marsh being up, though. Maybe we'll each get one.
Maybe we'll each get one, so split it up there.
So let us know. You know, the best part about the inactive game is you can play at home. So
exactly.
tell us what you think if you came up with the same results as we did.
And if you win, you get a free subscription to PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
That's what better than that?
Great gifts for the holidays.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have Joel from Lancaster, PA.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Joel?
Is it at Lancaster?
Hey, what's going on? Terrible week again, huh?
Yeah. I mean, at least you kind of had the weekend to kind of get that out of your system.
Well, we haven't talked about the fact that this is another example of extra time to prepare for Andy Reid, which he has done so well with in his career. Obviously undefeated after the bye, and also I think we looked at it last year when they played the Thursday night game against the Texans.
Unfortunately for Andy, most football games take place 7 days, and I think he needs to do a much better job preparing and coaching, obviously. We all know that. But my question to you guys is, and this is to either or, what would you do? So you're Jeffrey Lurie. What do you do with the team after the season? What do you do with the coach? What happens?
I'm selling the team. Selling to the highest bidder. It's worth $1 billion right now. No, I think one of the elements you have to watch for in these last couple of weeks is how does this team play on the field in terms of effort? You need to see that Coach Reid is at the very least getting these guys to go out there and put out the maximum effort each and every week. Now, people always question the heart and the desire. I just don't think that this is a good enough team. I think there's times when Seattle just point blank physically beat the Eagles. Last week, I don't know if it's hard and desire and all those, spiritual type things that we try to grasp when things go wrong, or those cliches that we keep bringing along when things go bad. But I still think guys were showing heart. I think guys were showing hustle out on the field. They were giving effort. I think they were just physically beat at times last week. Now, do you continue to see a team that's going to go out there and give maximum effort? Is LeSean McCoy going to still fight as hard as he can? What is Michael Vick going to bring to the table this last few weeks? And then looking ahead, to next year, the thing with Andy Reid is I think you're going to give him, in my estimation at least, I want to see him have another chance with a full offseason with this team in place and then see what happens from there. But, I mean, by and large, we all know the stats. We all know the numbers about Andy Reid is the winningest coach. But you've not seen a string of bad seasons here in Philadelphia. I mean, this would be if they don't get to 500, it would only be his third losing season as a head coach, his fourth non-winning season, if I'm correct. So, right. I mean, there's just not a history of losing. He's able to bounce back from those other years, go from 99 to 2000, 05 to 06, 07 to 08. Those were all followed up with playoff years and good playoff runs. So,
correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is basically Andy, he's been here long enough. He deserves another chance to get this right. You're thinking it's just a young team and it needs to gel?
I think it's not a young team. It's young at certain spots, but I think there are too many guys.
What I mean by young is it's young as a cohesive team.
Very young as a cohesive team, because a lot of people look to the age, and you look at the playmakers, and the playmakers, you know, on offense and defense, they're not really young guys. I mean, there's spots like linebacker, safety, where there's inexperience, but when you have so many new guys coming to the scheme in the short and off season, it takes time for them to gel. And that's why I said this earlier in the show. It's a team with talent, but right now it's just, I think, too many individual parts. They've not been able to fully come together as a team, and I believe with another season they could probably do that, and I at least would like to give Andy Reid the chance to be able to do that with the track record that he's had here in Philadelphia.
Well, I think what we've learned from Andy Reid, and also the Washington Redskins have laid out the blueprint, that money just can't buy you a Super Bowl. We've seen how many great on-paper teams the Washington Redskins have had over the years, and you see how far it's gotten them. I kind of had that feeling going into the season. Everybody talked the Eagles up, and I just had that really, really bad feeling in the back of my stomach that this is going to turn out the same exact way. I really think talent in the NFL can only take you so far. Buddy Ryan used to say, everybody wants to win. Everybody's going to tell me they want to win. Nobody wants to lose. But are you going to go out in the field and do what it takes to win? And that's what I'm not seeing from this team.
Well, and it's interesting when you talk about the free agency, because you look at the individual signings, and most of them have turned out pretty well. I mean, Jason Babin has played very well. Cullen Jenkins has been a beast and a defensive leader. Nnamdi Asamoah has played very well. Vince Young, you can argue about how well he's played, but he was certainly needed. Michael Vick missing time, you needed that backup quarterback. Maybe Ronnie Brown was a little overhyped, I guess, because LeSean McCoy's been so good. Maybe Steve Smith didn't turn out so great. But for the most part, the big money signings have turned out very well individually.
Well, finally, before I leave you guys, mm-hmm. I'll let you guys go after this question. What do you do with Juan Castillo after the season? Does he stay? Does he go? Does he get moved around?
That's a great question, and that's, again, will we see growth from this defense in these last couple of weeks of the season? And I think at the end of the year, you're going to have to take a look at the big picture and say, you know, because there's times where the scheme is right and the guys don't execute it. So is that Juan's fault for putting that scheme in place? Is it some of it's got to be put on the players for what's happened this season. I mean, I understand that. You know, Juan Castillo has never coached the defensive side in the NFL, and he's a first-time defensive coordinator, and I'm sure, you know, we've all seen the growing pains that he's had with his role, but at some point the players have to be accountable as well, and then you wonder, would a veteran defensive coordinator, would they have been able to have more success with his defense? We don't know. You would think yes, because they have a track record, so you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you have a past history you can at least point to. It's Juan has battled the perception all year long that because he has no track record, because he has no experience, you know, obviously then they should have gone a veteran route in that case. But that's, again, at the end of the season, I think when they do their self-scouting and they look at the defense and how it's performed, I think then they'll be able to get a better gauge of whether was it the scheme, was it the coaching, was it the team itself? What is the reason that this defense has not been able to get this team into the playoffs this year?
Great talking with you guys. Thank you for your time.
No, appreciate the call, Joel. Thank you very much. And that is really the big question going into this. What do we have here? Chris Ubbins on Jets Cam. Nice. What we're doing right now is our producer, Ryan McCann, is showing us. We have a Sally feed from NFL Network, and we can see the stuff that they're filming and broadcasting. And a former Eagles Television Network producer Chris Ubbins is setting up the Jets Cam at Forum Park, New Jersey, at the Jets training facility. A shout out to Chris and Rich Gentile, do a phenomenal job up there, the foundation of Eagles Television Network for many, many years here with the Eagles. But going back to what Joel said, you know, that's going to be the big hot topic of discussion if this team doesn't make the playoffs at the end of the year. Is going to be, what's the future of Andy Reid? What's the future of everyone? You have to look at the future of everyone.
Well, the problem is it's still too early to speculate, I think, because as you said, you need to see what happens over these last four games. You need to take all the information in as a whole and not make a rash emotional decision. You have to examine all the facts, and so it's too early to speculate and really talk about what the right moves are, because we don't know how this team is going to finish at the end of the season.
Everything right now, and you hit the right word there with emotional, is fans are frustrated. It's been a disappointing season. it's they want change. They just want something different. They want to see something new come in, you know, fresh face, fresh approach, what have you. It's too much of an emotional decision right now. You got to give it some time to see how this season finishes up. I mean, you go back to like the 2008 season and they were, what was it, 6-5-1 at one point in the season, 5-5-1, you know, and they ended up, you know, making the great run to end up in the NFC Championship game. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen here. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. The thing is, for at least this week, there is still hope of that. The Eagles have to go down to Miami. They have to take care of business. And one of the things that has been an issue is you've not seen consistent play. You saw the two, you know, couple good games in a row here and there. You've seen the great performance against Dallas. You saw the Dallas performance. You saw the Giants performance. You said if they could do what they did in those games and do it on a consistent basis, this team would probably be 8-4 right now. But that just isn't the case. There's too much inconsistent play. And then
turnovers.
Yeah, turnovers on offense is a big thing. It was a fourth quarter lapses on defense. It's again, the defensive side, it's harder to pinpoint because it's not just one thing. It's been one thing, it seems, each and every week that's played them. Where the offense, I think it's very easy to point to, it's been the turnovers.
All right, back to the phone lines. We have Mike from Hamilton. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Mike?
With all due respect to you guys, I understand your position being employed there. You really have to consider Juan a big bust.
It's been a disappointment.
The defense has not played well.
The defense has not played well, no. The numbers and the results would certainly indicate that, Mike.
Yeah. But when Jim Johnson died, the following year they have a guy that was at his knees for 6 or 7 years, Sean McDermott. They only give him 1 year, and then out the door he goes.
He had 2 years.
And then last year, I do believe that you had Dick Geron on the roster. He was a coach here.
Mm-hmm.
And after last year, they let him go. Now, he's been a defensive coordinator and a head coach. He taught the 4-3. We were on the 4-3 here. Why did they let Dick Geron go for a complete unknown defensively? That's what I don't get.
All right, Mike, we know that Andy is close to the podium, so if you want to give us your score prediction first, and then we'll react.
21-14, Philadelphia.
Okay.
21-14. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Excellent.
And here comes the big
man.
We'll
touch on that. First, we're going to have Andy Reid's press conference.
Yep.
All right, let's knock out these injuries. We've got really everybody practiced today, so Asante was excused for personal reasons. Rogers Cromartie worked mostly on the scout team, but got a few reps, with the first group. But again, everybody worked. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Miami Dolphins. Good football team, one of the hottest teams in football right now. We understand that our guys have had a good week of preparation, both in the classroom and on the field, and look forward to going down there and playing a good football team. Time's yours.
Michael Vick do physically during the week with his throwing and just moving, and how did he come out of this?
He came out good. He worked, took every snap, which I thought was important, and did a nice job with it.
With Rogers Cromartie, how will you list him, and do you see him playing Sunday?
Well, we've got him down in as questionable, so he'll go with us, and we'll just see how he does. We'll kind of monitor him as we go here. Obviously, he wants to play, and I'll get with Rick after this and see how he's doing and make our decision from there.
Danny Watkins suffered an ankle injury yesterday.
Yeah, he's fine. He did everything today, so he's fine.
And apparently you're shuffling things at linebacker again. Casey's back in a nickel. What'd you see there? Did you make that move? And how has he been kind of doing since being benched earlier in the season?
Well, we've got a few different personnel groups we're using, trying to utilize everybody, really. So, and Casey's earned the right to get back in there. He's done well when given the opportunity on short yardage goal line. Then he's done well on the scout team. and his reps. He's done well in the classroom. So like some of the other guys that took a step back to take a step forward, that's what we're doing with Casey.
Him, you know, being thrown in there, and people were very hard on him. I don't know if you've heard him talk about it. He's talked about how getting booed and et cetera. Did you notice that took a toll on him, and that maybe it was best at the time to have him take a step back because of that also?
Well, you know, I tell you, just like the other guys, I think with young guys, you know, it doesn't hurt to take a step back if, you know, at times. So that's, you know, that's what we did. And it bought him time to kind of look at things and get caught up on the study part of it, and then we'll see how he does here.
You've had so much instability at linebacker, both with your base group. It's had a lot of changes, and your nickels had a lot of changes. And all the personnel groups have had changes at linebacker. Do you have a better feel for what you have there now than maybe when the season started? And what are your thoughts on that group?
I think they're getting better. It's a young group, obviously. We're young at safety. We're young at linebacker. Zero excuse on that. That's not what that is. That's a reality. So the thing you do is you try to get better as a player every week. And I appreciate their effort and their study habits, the things they're doing. So they've done that. And they're all having an opportunity to play and contribute.
You mentioned several times in the last few weeks about the young linebacker crew. Do you kind of look back now and say, before the season, maybe we should have brought a veteran in
No, I don't do that. We're teaching them. They're listening and learning and getting better. So that's, that's what it is.
Where do you see that manifest? I mean, how do you see them getting better? I mean, at what, I guess?
Well, I think the number one thing is the pass defense. I think they're getting better there, and that's what we need to continue to get better at. That's what we're working on, and so that's where we're at.
Tackling as a group, how do you think they've tackled?
Well, you look back at last game; they had the tackle there that was a mess, right? That was not a good play right there. So, but other than that, you look at the big third down stop that. Chaney had. I mean, that was a great play, and so there's been some good ones too. And that one there, though, you point out that was a bad one.
Obviously, you sat him early in the season and let him kind of get a better grasp of things. With hindsight, would that have been a good thing to do with Casey as well?
Listen, I'm not really into hindsight because it's not over. So I felt like we needed to take a step back to take a step forward. That's what we did. Now he's back in. That's where I'm at.
The added pressure of each game having to win the state last one playoffs, do you worry that may creep into these guys' minds that if I drop this may cost us?
No, I'm not worried about anything right now. It's Friday. We've prepared, and we're getting ready to go down and play a good football team and play good football. That's what we're doing.
On defense, when there are so much shovel, I mean, you're going to have five different linebackers playing the base and the nickel. Is it tough just for them to be consistent when they're constantly going in and out? And,
no, I don't think so. I don't think it is.
Is two guys?
Nandi physically, he's been through a lot. I mean, he's had a lot of stuff physically, a knee and a head injury. And how is he physically? Is he close to 100% now?
He's getting there, yeah. And he feels pretty good. So every day he gets a little bit better, and he worked through it, which was important. And so. Doing all right.
Thursday game last week, was this almost like a mini bye week? And you've been so well with extra time to prepare. Do you expect that to be the case in this game as well?
Well, I guess you'd look at it as a mini bye week. I mean, it's I don't know. Listen, I'm not into all that. We're prepping. We're getting ready to go play. And I appreciate the effort the guys gave this week. And in their preparation, coaches and players.